What's going on, everyone? It's Bluff here, and you know what's more American than America's 250th birthday? Supporting American-owned companies like SpinQuest, America's number one social casino with over 1,000 games like Live Dealer Blackjack and Craps. They're offering new users a $30 coin package for just $10. Go to SpinQuest.com and sign up today.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
We're not Rush today. We're not a three-man band, just a two-man band. Chase will be anchoring afternoons. He's coming up in about an hour. We should be Rush tomorrow, back to a three-man band tomorrow. Final hour, Darren Donick and Chase, Darren McFarland, Willie Donick here with you. Let's head down to Mobile, Alabama, talk with TD, to Ron Davenport, NFL Nation reporter covering the Titans for ESPN and ESPN.com. Talking with TD is his podcast you can hear on these airwaves, and he now joins us. Teron, what's going on in Mobile?
Hey, what's going on? I'm actually in Charlotte getting ready to board for Mobile in about 3 minutes, but I'm en route, so it's all good.
Oh, okay. So you're en route down there. Okay, so what do you expect this week to be? Are you going to be down there all week?
I'll be here down there till Friday, possibly Saturday for the game, but as of right now, it looks like Friday.
What do you think? You've been in this environment before. What are the Titans trying to accomplish? You know, what business are they trying to take care of down there this week?
Well, this is really the main opportunity to get face-to-face contact with some of the players, you know, actually make literal eye contact as opposed to eye contact through Zoom. There are going to be opportunities to meet with a lot of the guys. There's an assortment of pass rushers down here that I think the Titans will be interested. We'll see how that carries out. But there's strengths in a few positions, and I think really it's just going to be an opportunity to do some homework that may not have really been open to the scouts and personnel, more the high-level personnel people during the season because of COVID. You know, it was a lot more difficult to travel. So I'm not sure how often they went to games and saw these guys in person, but I do know that they didn't get to meet them in person. So that's really important here, right, in Mobile. So I think that's where the key is going to be, because most of the other stuff is going to be done virtually for the rest of this off season.
And that's where I was going. You know, last year was right before everything hit here. I mean, right before.
Yeah.
So Indianapolis happened. Now that we are where we are today, what are you hearing from the people that you talk to? How is the combine, which is supposed to be, you know, a big, big deal for all these franchises? How do we think Indianapolis and the combine, how is that all going to play out and look this season?
Yeah, well, it's not going to be the same where you have that meeting time, where you have, you know, a room that you have the players come and visit. That's not open to them anymore. So really it's going to be more of a medical thing, and that's going to be primarily in March or April. I forget the exact, I think it's March. I'm pretty sure it's March. But they're going to have medical evaluations and those type of things. But that face-to-face, do you really love football conversation is not going to be there. And then even for pro days, it's going to be different as well. So it's a whole new ball game, and it's going to be really important to, you know, rely on your contacts that you have with schools and with, you know, background on some of these guys to be able to avoid, right, a situation like what has happened this year with their first-round pick.
If you're in the market, let's say, for a coach or two, is Mobile a good place to talk to people and find maybe a coach or two?
You know, that's a really good point, and it's a good question. I don't really think that opportunity is going to be presented, because they're encouraging the coaches and personnel people to not mingle as much, you know, outside of the Senior Bowl environment. There's a place called Veach, and a lot of stuff goes down there. It's a bar right across from the Renaissance Hotel, and that's where a lot of stuff happens. Man, you would be surprised how many deals are consummated in that place, but that's not going to be available. You know, like, that's not going to be an option this year. So we'll see. I know a lot of times coaches that are looking for jobs, they tend to go there to Mobile in order to network. So And some of the guys I know that are looking for jobs, they won't be there. So that kind of gives me a taste of how it may be for an assortment of would-be coaches.
What do you think is going to be the biggest point of emphasis for Mike Vrabel and crew down there in Mobile this week, in your opinion?
I think the biggest point of emphasis will be just that face-to-face. And one of the things that Mike Vrabel always says whenever I ask him about, you know, what he looks for in players, I mean, that's something I ask a lot of times in press conferences. And one of the first things he says is that they love football. And it's always tougher to find out that a guy loves football when you're not talking to him face to face. Like when you're talking to someone in person, you could feel the energy and the excitement about the game and how they feel about it just based off of it, you know, that in person conversation. So I think that's the main thing that they're going to be looking for. And also just to be able to gauge character. You know, one of the things, one of Coach Vrabel's most brilliant things that he's ever said was, you know, you look for a good person, like when you're evaluating character, and if it's someone that has background, you look to see if it's a good person that did a bad thing or a bad person that consistently does bad things. And I think that's something you can kind of feel the remorse or you know, the way a guy has worked through a situation in person more than you could feel just over a phone call or Zoom.
Talking to Teron Davenport. And, Teron, you know, as you say that, you know, I think of Isaiah Wilson. I'm guessing, I'm assuming, right, you can't go to the Senior Bowl if you're not a senior. Is that fair to say? He wasn't there last year.
Correct. He wasn't. He wasn't here.
So maybe you didn't quite have that same feel for him? Is that a theory that you think has any legs?
No, they had the opportunity to talk to him extensively at the combine because you had those conversations, right? You had your coach could talk to him on an informal, and then your position coach, that is, and then your head coach could actually, you know, the whole organization, you know what I mean, is there in that hotel room when he comes, and you could grill him, and that's when they fell in love with the chuckle, right? And that's one of the things that they really liked was his just, you know, how he approached things. You know, they seem to like his gentle giant, so to speak. But I mean, look, who could have predicted that he would have the issues that he had? You know, as far as you know, alcohol abuse and just poor decisions. I don't think you could have predicted that.
Yeah, I'm sure they're kicking themselves for not seeing it, and hopefully he figures it out, and the narrative is different in the coming years. Let's get back to a couple other things, Teron, as we move forward here. What about just flat out pass rush? Right, I would have to think that's got to be something they're looking for this week. Who can help me fix my biggest weakness?
Absolutely. And I think it's kind of a buy one, get one free situation for them down here because you got Rashad Weaver as well as Patrick Jones II. They're both Pittsburgh guys. And when you watch them, they both pop out. So they'll be able to, you know, look at both of those guys and really just kind of play off of, you know, watching the same film, you know, the same games. They both actually went against Mike Vrabel's son, Tyler, at Pitt versus BC. So I think that'll be good. There's a very nice group of guys down there. Quincy Roche. There's about four or five pass rushers that are definitely worth, you know, looking at. And there's some guys that will very likely go in the first round. So it's a good opportunity for them to see them. You could see them actually in one-on-ones, right? And to see how they use their hands, how they use their moves. And just how they go through practice, right? Guys that come off the edge, like they have to be high motor guys. So you can watch a guy throughout a whole practice and see how he approaches each and every snap. And that gives you a good taste of where his motor is. You know what I mean? How intensely he plays the game.
Either one of those guys from Pitt related to Aaron Donald or Hugh Green?
I'm sure they wish, you know, because,
I'd
Donald
move them up my boards if they were.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's hey, look, man, that's guilty by association right there. So I'm with you.
Teron, as you look at it right now, who do you think, ends up being the quarterback for the Colts next year?
Oh,
like we just heard, there was just a rumor floated out there. Darren, I can't remember who put it out there. You put it.
It's all over the place. It seems like the Lions and 49ers may be switching quarterbacks.
And to me, that's a plus because Stafford would be a guy that scares me if I'm the rest of the division saying, ooh, you add Stafford to a team that's already pretty good. That's a plus. But
yeah.
Who do you think they end up with in this quarterback roulette that we're going to see?
Well, that's the name that first came to mind was Stafford. With the Eagles hiring Sirianni, that kind of show, and he's a guy that's known for working with quarterbacks and looking at the positive and play, like all of that, it pans out for, hey, let's get Carson Wentz fixed. Otherwise, I thought he would be an option, but I think Stafford is likely. I can't really think of many other options for them to go for. So they have the money, they have the capital. I could see them getting Stafford.
Hmm. Okay, Teron, we're going to hit you with something. This is basically the 1 year anniversary of this conversation that you had with the three of us last year. Darren brought it back up, and that was the whole right after the AFC Championship game. It was the whole start of what to do in the offseason. We know what the Titans did. We know where Tom Brady is headed for another Super Bowl. And I remember you and Darren were both, I think I was a little surprised how much you guys were saying, yeah, you should explore this Tom Brady thing. Here we are a year later. Just give us your thoughts as you watch Brady do his thing again in the postseason.
Yeah, well, I will add to that. I came around later and was like, hey, you know, I think Tannehill is the best option. But, I mean, when you look at Tom Brady, he's the GOAT. He's simply the best quarterback ever. But at the same time, I think you have to look beyond that because that game yesterday, you know, showed that the defense had to do some things too. So I think that's something you have to keep in mind. I think it was the right move.
Battery and cigarette?
Okay, thank you.
No.
Sorry about that. I think that was the move that they had to make. And you have to think about more than just one season. I think that would have been a 1 or 2 year thing that would have worked initially, but not for the future. Thank you.
It sounds, Teron, like you might get a good conversation started on the airplane for the next flight. You guys have some great topics to kick around here.
Well, you know, I'm just multitasking and trying to be courteous to thank them for scanning me in. You know what I mean?
Well, before they take your phone and shut it off, we'll go on and get out of here. Safe travels down to Mobile. Have a good week, and we'll be curious to hear what you have to say after you spend some time down there when you join us next Monday. Thanks for doing this.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, no problem, man. Appreciate you guys. And, hey, man, enjoy the week.
Yep, you do the same. That is Teron Davenport talking with TD's, his podcast. You should check it out. It's really good, and you can hear it on these airwaves. He usually drops it on Wednesday evenings. Of course, he is the NFL Nation reporter covering the Titans for ESPN and ESPN.com, and he's been joining us every Monday. Usually it's 11 o'clock, but as you just heard, he was traveling during his normal time slot, and I didn't realize he was going to be in Charlotte when we were talking to him. I thought he was going to be in Mobile by the time we brought him up, but he's just halfway there.
Now he did a good job multitasking.
Yeah,
only
no
in the final minute did he start to realize that, hey, he might need to get to the seat.
Yeah.
You don't want to miss the flight.
No, not a good idea. All right, we'll come back. More on the other side, and we'll discuss some of the things that you just heard. We'd love to get your reaction, too. Weigh in. Now, what do you think about the Titans offseason? What do you think about your thoughts on coaches, players, all the above, things that we've batted around today? 615-737-1025 is our number. That's how you can get in on our phone line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. We'll come back. More of Darren, Donick, and Chase next. You're going to be listening to Robbie and Rex Road tomorrow and Wednesday mornings at 8:45 because every Predators game day at 8:45 a.m. on Robbie and Rex Road, they're going to give you a chance to participate in Preds Pick to Click where you can win a prize pack brought to you by New Amsterdam Vodka, and you're going to pick a player to click on that game day, a player to score a goal. So tomorrow morning at 8:45, Wednesday morning at 8:45, because they host the Blackhawks at Bridgestone Arena on Tuesday and Wednesday. 7 o'clock tomorrow night, 6:30 on Wednesday night. Real quick, another hockey news and note to pass along. Did you see where John Isacheka, the former Coyotes GM, I guess the league has doled out the penalties for him? And it looks like Cheka cannot be involved in any NHL business through the rest of the calendar year. Of course, he was a bad, bad boy. So he had been suspended by the commissioner for conduct detrimental to the league and the game. And he will not be able to be associated with any NHL business through the calendar year, the rest of the calendar year, 2021.
Sounds reasonable for the punishment. Mm-hmm. I just wonder if somebody will hire him again.
What do you think?
I don't think he's going to get a GM job right away. No. He'll probably end up on somebody's staff somewhere, I would think.
I think he's going to go work for Nick Saban, repair his name, and then he'll get a GM job.
Yeah, that's a great idea.
I mean, who said it just has to be coaches?
I was going to say, remember, we tried to nominate ourselves for that.
Yeah.
Just go down there and we'll just come out better somehow.
Just go to the school of Nick Saban and he'll fix everything.
Give me the cubbyhole.
John Cheka, are you listening? Go to Tuscaloosa. It's also come out that Cole Beasley, who had a really good game in the Bills' loss yesterday, we found out he was playing with a broken fibula. He got hurt, whew, broke his fibula, continued playing for the entire game.
He's been a nice fit for them.
I'm going to make, in fact, we had Don Beebe on Friday. And he really, if you notice in that interview, he made a point to praise Cole Beasley, like how big of a pickup that was for them. This will probably make some people mad, because I'm not saying the others are not tough, but I just kind of feel like hockey players and football players are the toughest athletes. And like I said, that's probably going to make people mad, because they'll defend whatever sport they think. But I just think those athletes in those sports are just wired a little bit differently. Like, who plays through a broken fibula?
You know, and we got to know how bad.
Torn ACL.
Yeah.
See players do that in the NFL.
And there's different degrees of these things, but still, it's like, come on. That's got to be a pretty high pain threshold. And also, you know, what kind of medication do you take to try to manage the pain? All of these questions come up. I don't know how they do it, but they figure out. Some of the hockey people in the past in the Stanley Cup final, there's some legendary stories of what people were doing to, you know, tape up your shoulder or your knee. Just say, hey, tape it up, man. Just get me in there. I'll figure it out. You just wonder how they do it.
And by the way, John Hines did confirm what you said, and it will be Kaskasuo. Is that how you say it?
Yeah.
Kazimir Kaskasuo will serve as basically the taxi squad third goaltender in Connor Ingram's absence. So Coach Hines confirming what you suspected. Of course, we saw him in those inter-squad scrimmages, the blue versus gold games. He played, I think, the third period of the first game, and that was it. Because they played both Pekka and UC the entire way in the second game, the Sunday scrimmage. But the Friday scrimmage, Ingram and Kaskasuo played in the third period.
Right. So we got a little glimpse.
A little bit. And like we said earlier, hope Connor Ingram, everything is okay in that department. Maybe we will learn a little bit more on that front. Okay, let's talk a little bit about what we talked about with TD. What do you think? What is the direction? What needs to be number one on their list? Is it the obvious, or I mean, there's two ways to skin this, you know, to skin this cat. You got free agency and you've got the draft. Is number one on both lists? I mean, is it just simple to say that, hey, it's one thing and one thing only? They got to figure out a way to get to the pass to the quarterback, and however they can find a pass rusher, they got to do it in both free agency. Throw as many darts as possible. Eventually, you hit a bullseye. Is that the method? Is that the approach?
I think if there's one thing, and I'm not going to say anything profound here, but if there's one thing that they could wave a magic wand and fix and say, okay, now we're ready. I think that's it, right? If you have, you know, a slightly better average than past, better than average pass rush, if you can guarantee me that, then I'll take my chances with everything else. Now, what I don't know, and because Teron is just starting to put the data together, right? Where are we on the draft? Is your first round pick going to be an edge rusher that's an impact guy that could play alongside of Jeffrey Simmons and really create something? You know, have somebody on one side of the line that makes Harold Landry better on the other side coming at the quarterback. That's where it all starts. Is that your first round pick? And then I don't know what the free agent market looks like. They got burned badly going that route last year. So does that mean they're going to be a little more timid trying to do it that way this year? Or do you go back to that well and maybe there's a better fit this time? I don't know. But one way or the other, that's where it all has to start. I mean, I don't think anybody would disagree, would they?
It'd be hard. It'd be hard to disagree. I don't know, you know. When you think about going into the last game of the season, you had 14 sacks. And they were about to set history. No team in NFL history had ever gone to the playoffs with 14 sacks in a season. The number was 19, and they tied it with 5 sacks in the final game of the year against Houston. It looked like all signs were pointing towards they were going to do something no team has ever done. Get into the playoffs with that few amount of sacks. But luckily, you know, they had 5 in the final game to tie that mark, and then they had, what, 4 more in the playoff game? What'd they end up with, 9 sacks in 2 games? They had 14 through 15 games? I think that's right. I think they had 4 against Baltimore, didn't they?
But I don't remember, but it was an anomaly for sure. We know what it is. They know it. So, you know, I think it's going to be very obvious what it is. It's like when you go to the grocery store, Darren, though, like it's last year they tried to fix it, right? Last year, like, let's get a little more edge rush up front. They maneuvered around, but they went to the free agency store and they said, I need apples. I need some apples. And the grocer was like, well, here's the apples we have. And you're like, ooh, these apples are some kind of bruises in there. Yeah, it's kind of mushy.
Yeah, this was
like, okay,
soft.
Well, how about these oranges and these bananas and these lemons? Or like, well, I don't need those.
Those things are pretty.
I gotta have apples.
Yeah,
I don't need bananas.
Mm-hmm.
So they had to take the apples that were there. That's what free agency is, and even the draft, right? You can't guarantee that the position you need has an available solution every year, and I think that's ended up being what happened a year ago. They didn't draft anybody that helped them. And the free agents they got, they were whiffs.
I think that's a really good analogy that you use. But, you know, usually when you go to the grocery store, you're going there for specific items, right? You're not just window shopping. You're not just browsing, right? Usually when you go to the grocery store, you're there on a mission to get certain items. So I think it's the perfect analogy. Because that's what we do when we go to the grocery store. We go there for specific things. If you no longer have milk in the house or it's running low, then you are going there to get milk. If you know, bread is low, and heaven forbid if there's going to be a storm, you need 500 cases of water just in case you're stuck in your house for the next 6 months, because that's really happened to us. But you go there for specific things. They had to shop for specific things, and I think, unfortunately, you laid it out there the best. Sometimes when you look at, you know, the bananas or the apples or the tomatoes, that's a good one, right? You're like, the strawberries. Like, this batch doesn't look that great. And most of the time when you're looking for those things, those are just items that you can go with or go without that particular trip to the grocery store, right? Like, if the strawberries don't look great, you're like, eh, I don't really like what I see, so I'm going to pass this week. I'll wait till next week. But in this particular case, you were making strawberry pie or, you know, strawberry bread or whatever, and you were going to the grocery store to get strawberries. Like, you had to come home with strawberries, and you're like, I got to make this work. I mean, I've got people coming over, and I'm making my famous strawberry pie, and I've got to have these strawberries or strawberry shortcake or whatever. And I've got people coming tomorrow. I've got to do this. So I have to, unfortunately, sift through these strawberries and pick the best of the worst, right? Because I don't like what I see, but I've got to go home with strawberries.
You've got
that's what they did.
Two stores. You've got the grocery store for the draft and the grocery store for the free agency. And there's no other stores. And you got to have some help. So if you don't get it one, you got to go with the other, and you got to make the decision what's the best available. So I hope this year is good for apples or strawberries or whatever it is you define edge rusher.
Well,
sometimes you get lucky, right? It's and sometimes you don't.
Well, we like, did the good.
Well, how many
bad.
Times have we said sometimes it's a great year to have the first pick in the draft, and sometimes it's really not all that great. You go around saying, "Well, we got the first pick in the draft," but maybe there's not that guy that year. But the first pick in the draft when the Orlando Magic won the lottery and Shaq was the guy, that was a pretty good year to have the first pick. Not so much when, Michael Olowokandi, he wasn't the first pick, but you know what I mean? You look at some years and you're like, that was the first pick in the draft?
No, he was the first.
The guy from
was he
UNL.
The first?
Yep, he was number one.
He was. Olowokandi, he was from Pacific.
Correct.
Yeah. Clippers, number one pick. The guy from UNLV that the Cavs took.
Anthony Bennett.
Anthony Bennett. Yikes. The kid from Oregon. Didn't he go number one? Got the hitch in his shot? What's his name?
You think of Markel Fultz from Washington.
Washington, sorry.
Yeah,
Washington.
He had a really bad Fultz. Hitch in his shot.
Why was he number one overall?
Yep, he ended up being number one ahead of like Jason Tatum and Lonzo Ball and a couple other fellas.
Why do the Winnipeg Jets exist now in Winnipeg and they're not still the Atlanta Thrashers? The first ever draft pick they had. First pick overall, Patrick Stephon. Yikes. Ever heard of him? I didn't think so.
Yikes. And that's pretty rare in hockey, though. Hockey, if you go back and look, the first two or three picks overall, the league gets it right. You'd be surprised how much they get it right more than they get it wrong. They're pretty good. It's pretty amazing.
But sometimes
it's
a generational guy like Crosby coming out or McDavid, and sometimes it's just a really good player.
Yeah.
Right? Like Nico Hischier a couple of years ago for the Devils. He's a really good player, but he's not McDavid. He's not that good, you know.
Well, Jonathan Drouin, whenever the Predators drafted Seth Jones, right? Wasn't Drouin in that draft?
I mean, he was third.
He's been okay.
He's good.
He's not the third pick overall.
Well, they had other choices of guys that have turned out to be better, for sure. And you kind of laugh because it's like, well, the Lightning have still been okay. They've still done okay, despite not taking Seth Jones or Barkov or some of the other guys that were still on the board. But, it all comes back to the Titans. Sometimes you need some good fortune that – what you need is in good supply the year you need it when you're trying to fix some holes and you're in a window where you're trying to win and you've got the Bills. They're going to be good next year. I would imagine, right? They've got they've got the emerging franchise quarterback and they've figured a lot out. They're a powerhouse now. You've got the Dolphins trying to come on. You've got
Chiefs are going to be good again.
Oh, you know, the Chiefs are going to be there. You know, the Ravens are going to be there. This is going to be a tough, deep AFC again next year, and you've got to get better.
Yeah, it's well said. I mean, there's just right now some powerhouse teams in the AFC that aren't aging, right? They're young. They've got young superstars. It's not a team you're going, they're probably towards the end. They've got some aging superstars, but it's going to catch up to them? Nope.
You've got
the case at all.
You've got even a team like Vegas that has all these first-round picks that they've just picked. You know, they're going to try to get a little bit better. The Jets,
the Chargers have Justin Herbert and a new coach.
There's just not a lot of teams that look like a mess in the AFC.
Well, the Jags usually look like a mess, but
they usually
do. They're going to get Trevor Lawrence. Who knows?
Yeah, that's right. They're going to be a totally new outfit with the number one pick in the draft. Wasn't it interesting? Who was it that telling us that they might actually look at Justin Fields? Who did we have on late last week?
That was, yes, who said that? And I took notice of that because they were very, because they were making the point that what is Urban Meyer like in his quarterback?
Right.
Like Fields, a much Fields, more mobile quarterback, right, than Trevor Lawrence is. I mean, Trevor Lawrence is not a statue.
But he can run.
But Justin, he likes the mobile guy, right? He's always had that history. Going back to Alex Smith at Utah, like Urban Meyer, you know, Tim Tebow, he likes for his quarterbacks to be mobile, really mobile in a lot of cases. Who was it we were talking to? It was a quarterback, wasn't it? Former quarterback?
Elijah, you remember who that was? I
it wasn't Hasselbeck, was it? I would have remembered that.
I don't think it was him. I can't remember off the top of my head.
Gosh, that's so sad. Like, I remember the conversation.
You were getting on me for my bad memory, and
I know,
here it is again.
Can't even
but
remember
now you're
who
no
that
better.
Was.
Now it's contagious, because now I have it, and I'm only 25.
Well, this is how bad it's getting. Pete Weber asked me last night to start postgame our conversation with Andre Reed. Did Andre Reed tell us he was going to be at the game? And I said, Pete, I honestly can't remember if Andre Reed said he was going to be at the game or not. Do you remember?
I don't remember.
Okay. So I feel a little bit better.
Yeah,
at least neither one of us remember. By the way, the Ultimate Predator says on Twitter, thanks, D-Mac, now I want some strawberries. But I really wasn't describing any good strawberries. I was really... the best of the worst strawberries. All those strawberries, the good ones, they're really good.
What, in Dilfer on Friday, was it?
Oh, it was
That's
Dilfer.
Who it was.
It was Dilfer.
That's why
it
I didn't remember
Trent.
It.
Yeah, it was Trent Dilfer on Friday at 11 o'clock.
He said that Urban Meyer will look a little deeper into the Fields versus Trevor Lawrence.
It was Dilfer.
Thing. Yeah. Good
Shame
call.
On us. Shame
well,
on us.
We'll see. I mean, Trent knows what he's talking about, but I think circling back to the main point, if you're not getting better in the AFC, you're going to get buried, because there's a lot of teams that, if it goes right, are going to be really good. I don't know if you'll have to win 11 games again to get in, but you might.
Well, to your point, you can look at teams in the NFC that have been really strong here in the last, let's say, 3 or 4 years, right? The New Orleans Saints. Well, do we really know what life after Drew Brees is going to look like? If that's where they
there's
are,
some question
life
marks.
After Drew Brees, I think – it's questionable, right? You don't have any idea. Russell Wilson, for the first time really in his career, started to look pretty shaky down the stretch for Seattle. Is that a prelude of things to come? I suspect probably not. He's still got plenty of tread left on the tire, but you do wonder. Tom Brady, I mean, Willie, this is right up your alley. I mean, you've been saying it for years, but I mean, is 44 the magic number? Is 45, like what year is it, 45? Like what's the magic number before Tom Brady loses to Father Time? But you can at least say, hey, he's going to be a 44-year-old quarterback next year. So there are much more question marks. Aaron Rodgers isn't getting any younger, and who knows if he's even going to be in Green Bay. So to me, there's a lot more, you know, what is the future in Minnesota? Like for Cousins, right? I mean, to me, there's a lot more question marks. Matt Ryan isn't getting any younger, but you're right. In the AFC, man, Josh Allen and Mahomes and these guys, they're just starting out. I mean, they're I'm not even sure, are they even in the prime yet of their careers? Lamar Jackson, all these guys are young. Justin Herbert is truly just starting out. He had one good year. We'll see if he can follow it up. The AFC picture looks totally different than the NFC picture. The NFC picture is established. Future Hall of Famers, but getting older and older, maybe retiring. So, you know, to me, it's much shakier ground in the NFC than the AFC, which goes back to your point of, man, you better get these things right or you're going to get left behind in the AFC. You're just not going to have a chance. I'd say the best example in the AFC is a team that's been really, really good for a long, long time that they may fit into that category, and that's Pittsburgh, right? I guess we don't know what's going to happen with Ben Roethlisberger, and if he goes bye-bye, what is life like without Big Ben? I mean, we've seen in small doses, and it's not good.
Then you add him to the list of teams that look like pretty good teams if they have a quarterback. We saw what it looked like without Roethlisberger the year before when they had no replacement level.
But
if they can plan for it, then they can probably come up with something okay. But is it Roethlisberger?
Is Baker Mayfield just going to get better every year?
We didn't
right?
even mention the Browns. Chubb is
gigantic
young.
Step.
Kareem
yes.
Hunt and all. Yeah, that's not an aging team by any stretch.
Nope. Jack Conklin's young. I mean, all those guys. Yeah, they're a young team too. They may. It's the Browns. I get it. It's the Browns. So don't get too crazy. They need to show it again, but they look like a team that's going in the right direction as well.
Well, who's given the Chiefs the best game so far? Of course,
so
there was
far,
you know,
the Browns.
Mahomes missed part of the game, but the Browns stood in there. They stood in there.
They did. All right, we will come back and wrap up today's edition of Darren, Donick, and Chase next. Reading a tweet from Bruce Feldman, who joined us last week on the show. His tweet reads this, and I was reading this during the break. What's the latest with the Tennessee coaching search? Is P.J. Fleck a serious candidate? Is Clemson's O.C. Tony Elliott in play? Hugh Freeze? Question mark. Jamie Chadwell? Question mark. This is what I'm hearing. That is kind of the some of the guys.
This is what I'm hearing. In terms of those specific names, that's what he's
hearing? I'm sorry, he said, this is what we're hearing. W-E apostrophe R-E. We are hearing. This is what we are hearing at The Athletic.
In other words, those names you just mentioned, that's what they're hearing?
That's what Bruce Feldman said.
In
that's
a tweet.
The Athletic.
Okay, so there's not an article that lists more?
There is an article attached to this.
Okay. Well, okay. I'm looking at
subscriber,
okay, I'm
a subscriber to The Athletic, so I can pull it up.
P.J. Fleck took over a very messy dynamic when he got into the Gophers situation in the wake of a scandal at the end of the previous season. This is the argument for him. The program had been reeling from a threatened player boycott of a bowl game. Oh, boy. I remember this, in response to a sexual assault investigation from which multiple players had been suspended. Fleck rallied the program and stabilized things to a large degree, leading Minnesota to an 11-2 and top 10 finish in year three. He is a, wouldn't this be ironic? Who did he coach under? Who was his protege?
Who are you talking about? Because I was sifting
through
the article.
P.J. Fleck.
He was at Central. Was it Butch?
Nope. Greg Schiano.
Oh, Greg Schiano.
He coached under Greg Schiano. Wouldn't that be ironic that you bring in P.J. Fleck? Well, who are your greatest influences? Well, Greg Schiano. Oh, you guys ever heard of Greg Schiano? Wouldn't that be interesting?
Oh, we don't need to go down that road again.
That'd be a fun discussion to have.
Wow.
It was pretty interesting. You're right. I didn't realize that he was a Schiano. They said that in this article, it says that they were hearing at The Athletic over the weekend that Danny White is willing to take big swings, which we shot down the James Franklin stuff, but it goes on to use that as an example.
Luke Fickell? He's mentioned in here. We didn't bring him up before. He's in the article. I guess the word is he's very choosy. The quote in the article by Feldman: "We wouldn't expect he would be tempted by this situation." Of course, Danny White, UCF, same league
by?
As Cincinnati.
What would he be tempted by? If an
Fickell
SEC
drew
school,
some interest from NFL teams, with the Eagles taking an especially close look.
Don't know. Hugh Freeze is also listed in here. Jamie Chadwell. Buffalo's Lance Leopold, Bill Clark. So basically everything that we've heard throughout all this. Doesn't sound like really anything's changed since Danny White's took over. I mean, aren't these kind of the same names that were being circulated pre-Danny White?
That's what's out there. I think people have assessed the names that are out there. Scott Satterfield, Louisville, he's
Bill
mentioned
Bill O'Brien is listed in here, but, I mean, he just took the OC job. It says, they heard very influential Tennessee people were interested in Bill O'Brien. Well, they need to get out of the letting the very influential people at Tennessee pick their coaches. Maybe they need to get out of that business.
What about Will Healy? He's in there?
Yeah, he is in there.
I think that's a really interesting one.
Scott Satterfield.
Only because we know something about Will Healy, right? We feel like we do, right? We watched him up close, talked to him many times. We like his makeup. If they were to introduce him and put him up at the podium, what would the reaction be by the Tennessee fans who have not probably watched him as close? And they just look at his record like, Charlotte? We got the guy from Charlotte?
Well, at this point, Willie, honestly, they should be used to that. We got the guy from Louisiana Tech. We got the guy who was a high school coach. We got the guy from Cincinnati.
Okay, now here's the difference.
Central Michigan.
And this is nothing personal against Jeremy Pruitt or Butch Jones. Or even Derek Dooley. But when you heard, especially Pruitt and Jones, and you heard them speak, there was nothing impressive to me about them. That's the opposite of Will Healy. Will Healy goes up and starts talking to you. You're like, I want to know more about this guy. This guy sounds like he's got something. Now, whether that means he's ready for this job, I don't know, but he impresses the heck out of you face-to-face in a conversation. I think that would count for something. Whereas that's the polar opposite of Jeremy Pruitt.
Mm-hmm. I would agree with that. I don't really know how you could duplicate Jeremy Pruitt.
And both of those guys failed in part. You know, that's not, there was plenty of reasons, but those guys ultimately sunk partially because they could not handle the scrutiny, the challenging of the media, the way it works.
Yep.
I think Will Healy would handle that part of it great.
Well,
and it would be easy. I'm sure the times are going to get tough for any of those guys.
No. I mean, look, nothing against clearly. I mean, our mark, we boom into Clarksville. Austin Peay is, we got a lot of loyal listeners, and we love to support them, and we have their coaches on. But, I mean, Austin Peay, comparing it to anything we're talking about here, is just not even on the radar. Charlotte football is not on the radar. So, in fairness, I agree with you, but we don't really know how we – I mean, it's just a totally different animal, fishbowl altogether. Like, they've never experienced that before, right? And so you don't really know, if you're 1-7, how they'll handle that. True?
No question. But there's just simple, basic communication skills that I think we're lacking with Butch Jones and Jeremy Pruitt. And that's not everything. That doesn't mean you can't be a really good coach and win. But I think handling the spotlight, the scrutiny, it helps if you can communicate, connect with people, be personable.
Yeah. I think it did.
What else does Will Healy have going for him? He took a program in Austin Peay that was absolutely at the bottom. And Tennessee is going to, whoever inherits this job, they're going to start pretty low down on the totem pole, right? There's going to have to be a build and probably even enduring some NCAA stuff.
Maybe.
Even without the NCAA stuff, you're still having to start at a pretty low level. You're not inheriting much.
Well, by looking at the transfer portal.
You have an exodus of players right now.
Yep. They're having a hard time fielding a team. With all the players that are, the defections. So, yeah, it's going to start low. I don't know. I don't know. None of those really jump off the page, but I don't know if there is such a thing. I really don't. I think that's why this is so intriguing. to see where he's going with this. How is he truly going to handle what direction he goes? Is it, you know, going to be what I know, what I've been successful at? Or when he says he's not afraid to take big swings, what are big swings? What is a big swing?
Okay, is Tony Elliott a big swing?
No.
That's the guy I don't really know much about. You know, he hasn't been a head coach, but people, I mean, he's won a lot of awards, right? I'm just looking at Feldman's article. He's the Broyles Award winner. They've won big at Clemson. He's probably learned a lot.
But if you're asking me, does the fan base go nuts over Tony Elliott? No, they're not going to. I mean, they're not going to go crazy.
Okay, now, would you rather have Elliott
that's fine.
Off of the real sexy program at Clemson, or would you rather have an up-and-coming coach from a Buffalo, a Charlotte, a Coastal Carolina, you know, a non-Power 5 school? You rather have Power 5 and done okay at a place that's tough to win, like PJ Fleck? Those are the choices, mm-hmm. right? It's short of you pull a Houdini act and you pry Matt Campbell away from Iowa State, which seems like a long shot. Same thing with James Franklin, those guys.
Yep.
Or Luke Fickell.
I don't know. I have a feeling this is not the last time we'll be talking about it this week.
This is where they are. Welcome to the show, Danny White.
That's right.
This is the challenge ahead.
Our show today. You have a great rest of your day. Continue to be safe. Chase is going to have afternoons for you coming up next. We'll talk to you tomorrow morning at 10 a.m. We'll see you then.
What's up, everybody? It's Bretzky, and America is turning 250. And I can't think of a better way to celebrate that than playing on an American-owned social casino, SpinQuest.com. With all of your favorite games, live craps, bubble craps, live blackjack, there's no better place to play for free and win real cash prizes. SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.